Hello everybody, it's Mr. Tall 23 back in their video. This video is a response to a sermon given by a church, which is local to me, about 2 weeks ago, by a guest speaker at that church. So this church, which I've mentioned before on my channel, is known as Life Point Church, and I'm aware of it because I have a friend who attends this church, who's a member of this church, which calls itself non-denominational. So it's a non-denominational church. And the reason why I know about it, the reason why I'm talking about it is because first of all, it's local to me. It's pretty well known among my community, I guess, and there are a few people I know who attend this church, including a close friend I have. It seems like there's a car or a truck with a bumper sticker bearing the church logo on it all the time when I'm driving around, so I think it's pretty big in my area. I'm not exactly sure how many people are there. Now, I obviously don't want to say how close exactly I am to the church, but I'll say that I live within 30 miles of it, of this Life Point Church. It's quite a popular assembly in the city of Santan Valley, Arizona. So, now because my friend told me about this church back in September, I obviously back then wanted to do some research on it, so I discovered that they had a YouTube channel, or they still do, they have a YouTube channel, which they upload audio recordings of their sermons. And there was a sermon given on December 30th, 2018, so just about 2 weeks ago, which was delivered by a guest speaker named Joe Wiegert, who was introduced by the pastor, whose name is Nathan Bentley, to deliver a special message. And the pastor of the church, clearly in the beginning of the video, in the beginning of the sermon, or the beginning of the recording, he obviously approved of the message given. And the sermon was uploaded under the title Faith and Works. And you might see where I'm going with this, because a lot of people, when they get those things together, they get it mixed up and they end up teaching false doctrine. So when this clown got up to speak, Joe Wiegert, he first went to James 2 and read the famous passages that the Catholics twist in order to try and teach work salvation. Now, this is a red flag. When a non-denominational church uploads a sermon called Faith and Works, and the first scripture they read is James 2. That's a pretty big red flag, so I decided to listen to the sermon for several minutes to see what was going on here, to see what he's going to say. And at first, when you watch the sermon, or when you listen to it, it seems like he's teaching right things, because he says things like, well, religions like Mormonism and Islam differ from Christianity in that they emphasize works instead of what you believe. So, in the beginning of the video, it seems like what he's doing is teaching, well, yeah, it's faith alone, you just have to believe or have faith in order to be saved. But then he mentions, there's another thing, is this is kind of a minor thing, he mentioned something about how no one would say that Mother Teresa was evil, which is false. I would say that, and a lot of other saved Christians would also say that, because we understand that she led many people to hell by the preaching of the Catholic faith. So yes, just because she helped people and did certain good things doesn't mean she was good, doesn't mean that she wasn't evil. She definitely was. She was a liar, a false prophet, a false teacher. And then he briefly touches on the gospel. He talks about how Jesus died for us, so we don't have to worry about keeping the law for justification. So the first 12 minutes or so of the sermon was mostly correct, it was mostly okay, but then he goes on to say that Christians, when thinking about faith and works, they tend to swing too far in the other direction, or in the direction away from works. And he says in the sermon, and this is, I'm not going to quote it verbatim, but instead I'm going to play it because I have it on my phone right here. Hopefully you can hear it. This is exactly what he says. This starts about 13 minute and 20 second mark.
If you look back in James, it clearly says that if you have faith without works, then it's not real faith.
No, buddy, that's not what it says anywhere in James. The full passage that he was reading from, James chapter 2, verse 14 to verse 24, is this, and I'm going to say this entire passage, nowhere does it say anything of what he just said. It says, starting in verse 14, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man says he hath faith, and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked, and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not these things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. That's strange. There was not a single verse in that entire passage that I just read, James 2:14-2:24, that says, if your faith is without works, it's just not real faith, which is what Joe Wiegert said. Okay? Joe Wiegert is just making things up. And he's not the first person to do this or say something like this either, okay? This is a common misrepresentation of these verses. So before explaining exactly what James 2 is talking about and what that means, which I've done before in my videos, I've talked about this several times, and which I've done in a video that's not uploaded yet, it'll be uploaded on February 4th. Before I talk about that in this video, I want to move on with the claims of this Joe Wiegert guy. So almost right after that, he says this.
You know, many Christians fall into this mindset that if they just believe in Jesus, that's what saves you. That's not true. James says that even the demons believe, they're not saved. Just believing, just knowing the truth, doesn't save you.
Okay, so I just want to say that the fact that the pastor of this church didn't immediately shut him up, or that no member of the church didn't rebuke him or left the church for this heresy is just mind-boggling. And honestly, I'm kind of worried that a lot of people in that church are not saved. Now, I've been informed that my friend did not attend church on that day because he was sick. I'm pretty sure he's saved. There's no way to absolutely know. He says he's saved. He believes the gospel. I've tested him on that. But he said he's going to talk with the pastor about that and try to see what was going on. But no, Joe Wiegert, okay? James does not say that demons believe in Jesus. That's not what it says. He said that's not true. James says that even the demons believe. Well, no, it doesn't say that. It says that they believe that God is one. It says in verse 19, Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. It does not say that the demons believe in Jesus. It just says that they believe that there is one God. Okay, so no Christian, okay, no Bible-believing, saved Christian teaches that if you believe in one God, you're saved. Okay, the Catholics believe in one God, they're not saved. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe in one God, they're not saved. The Muslims believe in one God, they're not saved. The Sikhs, the Kaudias, sometimes there's even some Hindus who believe in one God, they're not saved. Okay, the Bible does not say that you have to believe in one God to be saved. It says that you have to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, so you have to believe on Him. Okay? And then this idiot has the nerve to say, just believing doesn't save you. That's exactly what he said. Well, guess what? The Bible says in John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, which means whoever or anyone, whosoever believeth on him or believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then it says in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. It doesn't say and thou might be saved. It just depends on whether or not you have works with that. It says thou shalt be saved. So yes, it's just believing. It's just having faith. That's what saves you. Okay. Joe Wiegert is a lying heretic. And at this point, I could stop this video. I could just quit, but I want to address just a little more of what Joe Wiegert claims. Because remember how I just read Romans 10:9, where it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is risen from the dead, you shall be saved? Well, just a little bit later, he actually quotes Romans 10:9, and he tries to use it to teach that you need faith and works, okay?
Let's take a look at Romans 10:9-10. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him.
By the way, I think he's reading from the ESV, which is one of the new Bible versions that takes out like 16 verses and has so many translation mistakes in it. So if you're confused, if you're kind of cringing at the way this sounds, it's because he's using some terrible translation.
From the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Now, what this verse really is a description of faith. We know in other verses that it says we are saved by faith. And what this verse is a description of faith. It has two parts. You believe and you confess. A belief and an action, and it's faith and works. It goes hand in hand. You can't have one or the other. If you just say you believe in Jesus, but then it never comes out, it's nothing. And vice versa, it'd be ridiculous, but if you proclaim Jesus, but then you don't actually believe it, that also does nothing.
What a way to twist God's word. Does it say anywhere in Romans 10, verses 9 to 10, that there are two parts of salvation? One is faith and one is works. No, it doesn't say that, but that's what he taught anyway. Okay, it says that if you believe and if you confess, then you're saved. Okay, confession is not a work. Confession doesn't mean that you just go out and obey God's commandments. That's not what confession means. Confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus is just calling upon the name of the Lord. Okay, it says just a few verses later in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, that just means that whoever believes, if you truly believe, you're probably going to call on the name of the Lord. Okay, because if you call upon the name of the Lord, if you say, Lord, save me, whatever, but you don't actually believe that, then what you're doing is completely useless. You don't actually believe that. So it's whosoever believes, and then because of their belief, they call on the name of the Lord. Okay, and yes, faith can be without works. He's trying to say, well, they go hand in hand. They're together. You can't have one without the other. Okay, well, no, that's completely false. Okay, the Bible says in Romans chapter 4, verse 3 to 7, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that, watch this, worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. So, does faith and works go hand in hand? No, because the Bible clearly teaches that the one who worketh not, or the one who is without works, they still have their iniquities forgiven, they're still justified, they're still saved. So you can see how false teachers just completely misquote and twist scripture, and it's just one of those verses, and this happens a lot, where they look at something, it says something, but they say the exact opposite. They say, see, it says this, when it really says something completely different. Okay, they look at Romans 10:9, which clearly teaches that everybody who believes is saved, and then says that you have to do more than believe, you have to do works. It doesn't say that anywhere in the verse, and yet they say, well, that's what it says. It's just ridiculous. So, what does James chapter 2 really teach? What is James chapter 2 really talking about? The purpose of this video is to call out the teachings of Joe Wiegert. That would be Joe, W-E-G-E-R-T, just if you're curious, and Life Point Church, because of their false doctrines, because of their heresies. And I'll talk about it now in this video instead of just waiting to tell you, or telling you to wait until February 4th, which is when I'm doing the commonly misunderstood scripture or commonly misunderstood verses video for James 2:24. That's when that'll be uploaded. But going back now and reading James chapter 2, verse 14 to 24, let's break down different sections of this passage, of this teaching. It says in verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not these things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? So I want to point out two things there. First, that he's writing to brethren. He's writing to fellow Christians. Okay? And he says that both here, he says brethren, but he says it elsewhere in the book of James. I think it's there's a few times in chapter 1, and then there's a few times in chapter 3 as well. So it's clear that he's writing to fellow Christians, to people who are already saved. The second is that what James is teaching here is that faith does not profit anything for a brother or sister or those who are brethren in Christ. Why? Because faith is within you, okay? It's a personal, it's an individual thing. It doesn't help anybody else, okay? My faith isn't profiting anybody, okay? Just because I have faith that somebody can go be warmed and filled, it doesn't mean that they're actually going to be warmed and filled. But does that have anything to do with salvation? No. Look at what verse 17 says. It says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now people try to twist this and try to say that it says that faith without works doesn't exist. But that's not what it says. It says that faith without works is dead, and it repeats this in verse 26. The term faith without works is dead doesn't mean faith without works isn't real faith, like Mr. Wiegert thinks. It means that it doesn't profit anything, like James has been teaching throughout this passage so far. It means it doesn't profit anything. It's useless to our fellow believers. Okay, we can see that if we read on as well. It says in verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So in verse 18, there's a hypothetical situation given in which a man might say. So this isn't God speaking here. This has nothing to do with God. This is not the judgment seat of Christ. Okay, this is not when we're being judged, when we're being cast into hell or given eternal life or anything like that. Okay, this has nothing to do with God. This is what a person looking in on our faith says. This could be a fellow believer. It could even be somebody who isn't a Christian and who doesn't believe that we have true faith. Okay, what does he say? I will show thee my faith by my works. So this hypothetical man is stating that he's going to demonstrate his faith by his works. Why does he need to do that? Because we can't see the heart. Okay, I can't see your heart. I can't read your mind. You can't read my mind. We don't know if somebody has faith or not. We can't read each other's minds. Only God can know our hearts. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 6, chapter 16, verse 7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So we thus show our faith by our works. Okay, so we show our faith by our works, and we show it to man, not to God. It has nothing to do with God. It's about showing it to man. And this will be made clear as we read on, okay, that it has nothing to do with God. It's all about being justified in the eyes of man. So in verse 19 it says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. I've already discussed this and how Joe Wiegert twists it. It says, thou believest that there is one God. It doesn't say that thou believest on the Lord Jesus Christ and the demons do also, okay? No, the demons don't put their trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't put their trust or their faith in Jesus, okay? Just because they believe that there's one God doesn't mean that they believe the gospel, doesn't mean that they're saved. So it's a complete fallacy to say that this verse is teaching against faith alone salvation, because it has nothing to do with salvation. It has something to do with believing that there's one God, okay? Now it says in starting in verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith brought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Okay, so how are we justified? It's simple. In the eyes of man, as it teaches in verse 18, we are justified by works. Okay, the Bible says in Romans 4, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So if Abraham were justified by works, he had something to glory about. He had something to boast about. Why? Because he's justified in the sight of man. Because in man's eyes, the person who looks on the outward appearance, not someone who looks on the heart, we don't know that they have faith. We can only see their outward things. Okay? We can't see people's inward man. The flesh does not change whatsoever when salvation happens. It's only the spirit that's born again. We still have the old flesh. We still have the old man. So one way that we can know, and others can know, that somebody truly believes what they're saying is that they do the works. I mean, think about it. Here's an example. What's more believable? To say that a man who'd risk his life for Jesus Christ, who'd go out in the heat or in the cold and preach the gospel, would that person, would it be more believable to say that person has faith, or to say that somebody who just sits around on their couch and doesn't obey God and lives in sin and doesn't go to church has faith? It's possible that both of them believe. It's possible that both of them are saved, but the only way that we can tell is by their works, okay? It's justification in our sight, not in the sight of God. Now, later in this sermon, Joe Weger goes into reading Hebrews chapter 11, and Hebrews chapter 11 is just simply showing examples of what people throughout history have done by their faith. It doesn't say that you need to do some great and mighty work to be saved, or that your faith will always be accompanied by works. It doesn't teach that in any of these, in the entire chapter of Hebrews 11. Okay, it's just showing evidence to us that they have faith, that these people, Abel and Noah and Abraham and so on, had faith. Because if the Bible just says Abraham believed God and then it just stopped talking about Abraham and didn't talk about anything else he did, it wouldn't be likely that we'd see Abraham as a good example of how to serve God, of how to exercise our faith. Okay, it says in verse 2 of Hebrews 11 that by it the elders gained a good report. And in verse 39, that these all having obtained a good report through faith. So it's about them having a good report. It's about them being justified in our sight. It has nothing to do with being saved. And yes, okay, even though Joe Weger teaches against this, the Bible definitely does teach that works does not play any role in salvation whatsoever. Even if you say, well, you can't earn your salvation, but you get salvation by faith, and that's always accompanied by works. It'll just come after immediately. That's teaching works salvation whether you like it or not. It's just switching around when the works comes. Okay, because it clearly says in Romans 4, verse 5, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him. And then it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And the Bible declares a multitude of times that faith, or believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only thing required for eternal life. It says in John 3:16, John 3:18, John 3:36, John 6:40, John 6:47, John 11:25, Acts 16:30-31, Romans 3:20-28, Romans 4:5-7, Romans 10:9-17, Romans 11:6, Ephesians 2:8-9, Galatians 2:16, Titus 3:5-7, 1 John 5:9-13, and the list goes on and on. I encourage you to look up all those verses if you don't know them, and to read them, because it clearly teaches that we are saved by faith alone. So I know that some people who I know who might go to this church watch my channel. And if I were you, I'd either rebuke the false teacher, Joe Weger, in that church, try to find him, try to rebuke that false prophet, or just get out of the church. Because the fact that the pastor allowed this message is pretty troubling, because what he taught is completely against the Bible, and it shows that he's not saved. It shows that he's teaching a work salvation, and he's trying to twist the gospel. He's twisting scripture. He doesn't even understand basic doctrines of the Bible. So thank you, everybody, for watching. That's it for today, and goodbye.